Question, Mayor.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Joel, when is the contract coming around, the next contract for StanTech?
The committee has to provide more direction to the consultant, so the consultant prepares a draft for the committee to review, and the committee has discussed the meeting the second week of January.
Okay, so the citizens could give comment on that. Could you make sure that Alderman Barber gets a copy of the draft proposed contract so he can give it to the citizen members?
There will not be a draft proposed contract until after that January meeting.
But the current one we have is what we'll be working off of anyway. Thank you.
Okay, Chief. Item G3 is a request to add one detective position in the police department by reducing a patrol officer staffing by one and other program adjustments to the police department. And for those of you in the audience, this is a net result of, I don't want this to seem punitive, but this is a net result because we aren't able to hire any more officers. Chief.
That's correct, Mayor. You know, originally our hope was to be able to add some personnel to the department. One of the positions I was looking to add was a detective position because of the increased workload in that division and the increased amount of serious crime and complex crime. So I still have that need, and I will still have a need to have a detective, and the only way I can do it within my existing resources is to take that position from a patrol officer position. So that's what I'm requesting. And in order to compensate for that and to adjust for the service level needs because of losing that patrol officer, I propose some service adjustments, which include some calls for service that we will no longer respond to, some classifications of crime reporting that would be taken online only, and some adjustments in response times for other calls for service that would put them at a lower priority call for response. And one of the main things I'm anticipating doing to compensate is to eliminate the DARE program, which would free up a lot of officer time. So that is my general proposal.
Alderman Taylor?
Well,
Alderman Mayor.
I can tell you that sometimes you wonder what a community thinks. We voted against adding three officers, but we voted like with almost like 70% for legalizing marijuana, a referendum question. So the same residents that said no to cops said yes to marijuana. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand it at all. The DARE program, I understand. But I've been here since 2008. I don't miss too many DARE graduations. I think it's a really good program. But, you know, we're faced with these kind of decisions. It's unfortunate other communities passed referendums to increase police officers. Ours did not.
We're the only ones.
We're the only ones. So that's really disappointing.
While we're talking about the DARE program, I just want the council and the people in the audience to understand that the police department was doing this program for many, many years, but there are other organizations, and the school district has some ability in place to pick up where the police officers were. So it's not, it helps the police department to not do it. It's not hurting them much. It's not hurting the school district. Alderman Mayer was first.
The chief and I have talked about some of these things, and it's his department. He does a great job, and I'm not going to second guess him. Just one question about the DARE program, and we didn't talk about this before, sorry. What would it take to keep a DARE program separate? Overtime, rough estimate, something like that?
Well, I guess if you're asking could I do it in overtime, I guess I could. There's five elementary schools that have the DARE program, and they're 10-week programs, approximately an hour a class, but with prep time and administrative time,
right.
Maybe a couple hours per class. So, and again, that's five different schools. It's a pretty significant amount of police officer time.
Some school districts pay for the DARE program, or at least partially pay for the DARE program? Have we approached the school district?
I'm not aware of any school districts that pay for the DARE program. I mean, there's a number of school systems that help pay for school resource officer positions.
Right, that's what I'm thinking about.
Right, and that being said, there's a lot of communities that have school resource officers. They're putting more and more in their schools, and that was one of the requests for the referendum. One of those positions was to add a resource officer.
Right.
But so we have one, and we'll stay with one, but I know communities have added 3, 4. Some communities have a resource officer in every one of their schools. Again, I'll work with whatever resources I'm given. I'll provide the city the best police service I can with what I'm given. You know, I think we had been, and I was hoping with the 3 new positions, we'd be and stay a full-service police department. I think we're just going to drop a level of service. And unfortunately, you know, I'm disappointed, too. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed that the community had voted that they apparently didn't want a full-service police department. So part of a full-service police department is getting some of these extras, these extra programs. And I can't do it with the existing resources. So I want to place my personnel where they're best utilized. And then at this point, I believe the position is more needed in the Detective Bureau than it is in patrol. I can adjust better with patrol than I can with detectives. Without having a detective, the caseload already is ridiculous for my detectives. And this will help reduce overtime in the Detective Bureau.
One important point, I don't know if you were going to make it yet or not, but you're going to try to maintain as much as possible minimum staffing by not allowing as many police officers off.
Right, with this plan and reducing some of these services, I do not intend to reduce the minimum staffing for the day shift. So I will keep the same minimum staffing. On those occasions where losing that one position might affect staffing, there's going to be one less officer who can take off that day. So that's what's going to be affected, not service on the street.
Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Nelson.
Chief, I really appreciate everything you do, and you do a fine job, so thank you for that. What would the cost be to keep both positions, to have the additional $8,000 for the position you would like, and then to keep the position that you're transferring from?
Well, in light of the fact I was going to would have liked to add a position on the day shift, now I'm asking to take one away. At minimum, I would need to have another position added, another police officer position, so I could promote an existing officer to detective. So that's the cost, an additional body.
$100,000.
$100,000. Is there an opportunity for one of the grants to come up again in the future that you're aware of?
There's no grants. There's never been a grant that I'm aware of that would cover the DARE program. Are you for a police officer position?
Police officer, yes.
The COPS program has really slowed down. They really reduced funding in the last several years. I don't anticipate that coming back. And there's a possibility, but in light of the fact that we were awarded a grant once before and did accept the position, that decreases our likelihood of getting something in the future. So I wouldn't count on that. I mean, we certainly could apply next time it comes up, if and when it comes up. But there's nothing.
Well, I noted that in the minutes, which were discussed by the young woman who came up here, who's, I think, been involved in some of your programs with the Citizen Safety Academy and the dogs and that she mentioned the money that's in the general fund. If it's $100,000 and there's $600,000 or $500,000 in there, that would give you a minimum of 5 years of an officer. After that, do you think we can, as a council, come up with, you know, additional money to fund that position, I guess, would be the question if we were to use existing funds.
I'm not sure where that $600,000 came
from. Seriously.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not here asking for money. I mean, the council has to make that decision.
I understand you're not. But one of the things that I had made when we had cut down on this building, because I think we're going to end up an overrun for just the remodel, was to leave some of that for overruns on that. If that project gets completed and there aren't any really major things that come up, maybe there would be additional funding. I'm just thinking of maybe come back, you know, if there's additional funding left for next year and pursue it at another time.
I'll leave it up to the council. I'm not asking for the money. I appreciate that consideration.
I
hate to even deep six myself before it's time, but I'll be at the next meeting proposing a renovation of our firearms range, which is quite costly, which will be another consideration for the council. So,
well, I just think if we watch our budget, look at our budget, and if there's some, maybe you can come back at another point and we can still look at that position. I don't like to see these programs cut, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the same way. My daughter, my kids were both involved in the DARE program, and I think it made a difference in their interaction with police officers and that as far as...
I don't like doing this. I really don't.
I know.
I always liked the fact, appreciated the fact that we provided a full service to our community. But you have to make those decisions. The community voted. They decided they did not want to expend tax dollars for police services. So, and that's their decision. So, you know, I'll work with what I have. And this is the way I'm proposing to do it, best use of my resources. And I'll do the best, we'll provide the best service. We're going to still provide service. We're going to keep the city safe. That's my main priority, keeping the city safe. And that's why we have to readjust how we address some of these calls for service. Again, probably of all the proposals, I know the DARE program is probably the most concerning. But again, it's an extra service. It's a, you know, it's not part of the core service of a police department. And if anything has to go, I think it's going to have to be this program, unfortunately. So,
well, I would certainly be open to looking at a position in the future and not waiting, you know, many years down the line.
I'll be happy to take it anytime council feels they're able to provide it.
But I guess I would be. You know, obviously would need 4 votes on that. So,
for the people in the audience, the extra levy money that we earned based on growth this past year was $148,000. That's the amount of money we could and did spend over our last year's budget. That included all the cost of living increases, health insurance increases, salary increases, cost of fuel, cost of insurance,
salt,
all of that, $148,000. That's recurring tax money. That's tax levy money that you and I pay in our taxes. We asked for recurring tax money to fund 3 police officers. We were asked consistently, well, why don't you use the capital money? It's because the capital money runs out. As long as I'm mayor, we will not hire somebody knowing full well that we will not have the money to pay them at any point in the future. I just won't do it. Alderman Nelson.
Chief, just one question about the services that could potentially be eliminated. The 911 call hang-ups from cell towers. A lot of people don't understand the difference between kind of like where the landline, where you call 911, it goes directly to PD, opposed to a cell tower. Could you just give a little brief?
Well, right. And when you get a 911 call from a cell phone, the location is the cell tower, which doesn't mean that the person's at the cell tower. That call could be anywhere within that cell tower's range. So we have been responding to the area of the cell tower. We've never found anything from those type of calls. Now, it's not to say that someone couldn't have dialed 911 from a cell phone is in need of police service immediately, But with that general location, chances of us finding somebody is pretty slim. We never have. Other departments, I think, on occasion, very rarely, have able to maybe find somebody. So my thought was, we're not going to send somebody to look around an area where a broad area. We'll give the information out that, hey, for FYI, a 911 cell phone drop occurred in the squad area. So that squad officer would be aware, and in their regular patrols could keep an eye out, but not to take someone out of service just to be driving around for 30 minutes pretty much aimlessly. So
thank you.
Alderman Taylor, Alderman Barber.
Thank you, Your Honor. I was going to address the capital issue, and I totally agree with you that that's not proper budgeting. And I'll just repeat, I'm glad the press is here, which doesn't happen very often, but I don't know what article they're going to write about. But this is a just perfect example of voting has voting, there's consequences. We didn't go to the general public and ask the question of whether or not we should add three officers if we didn't feel it was necessary. And I believe, if the numbers are correct, on a $250,000 home, it was going to be about $45 a year. So when you everybody can go online and look at the council packet, when you see the things that have changed that are no longer going to be the norm, you're going to wish that, if for those that voted against that referendum question, you're going to wish you did. That's all I'm going to say. It's not being angry. It's just being disappointed, because the mayor doesn't like to ask people for more money. This council doesn't like to ask people for more money unless it's necessary. And the reason it's necessary, and if you give me a moment, I will just tell it, is because in Madison, the elected officials decided to cut shared revenue to municipalities, transportation dollars. This is the governor. This is the state legislature, at least the one that's going to be leaving. And then they balanced their budgets on the backs of you guys. It made our jobs extremely difficult. So when they sit there and say, hey, we have a $500 million surplus, a $400 million surplus, it's because of all the cuts to the municipalities, and we're having to make these decisions and ask you for more money because they took it away from us. So we don't do those things lightly. It's frustrating. But elections have consequences, and I think that's why the governor, is going to be out of office here in a month.
When you hear a state elected official say we cut property taxes, just remember, they didn't cut the money that they spent. They cut the money that we spend and the services that we provide to you. They're pounding their chests with nothing behind it. Alderman Barber.
Chief, one of the things that I'm also serve on is the Volition Committee, the Volition Group. And they are also substance abuse, and they work with the schools. Will we have an officer assigned to that group? Is that going to continue on, or will that cease also? Because they're involved with the schools. There's a youth volition group, which is actually in the schools working to deal with some of the same things Dare was working with.
Yeah, that'll continue. And we do have an officer as a liaison to Volition, and they do provide some of those services. The school also, their health division department, is going to be starting up some programs that address some of those choice issues for young people. So there will be some of that slack taken up. Probably the biggest loss in the program being gone is the officer interaction with the kids and the officer rapport that's built up with those kids at that age group that carries on into high school. And we reap a lot of benefits from that rapport being built up, that contact. So that will be a loss. But you're correct that there are going to be some programs that deal with substance abuse that will still go on.
We still count on the officer being part of that.
Yes.
Alderman Dandridge.
And just in case the rest of you are worrying about or want to keep track of some additional facts, 25% of your total tax bill is what the city runs on. 75%, 50% is run on the school system. The other 25% is the county. And it's
MSD and MATC.
Right. So we have 25%. we do a damn good job on what we're doing. Thank you.
Okay. I'll give it a try. So, I'm going to add a note to the motion. So is there a motion to approve the elimination of one patrol officer position, add one detective position to the police department, and direct staff to find the necessary $8,400 differential?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Item G4 on page 27. I forgot to do that. I'm going to get back into that room. Thank you, Alderman D'Andrea. A resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a suburban mutual aid mutual assistance response terms agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. G5 on 41 is a request to adopt Phase 1 design and recommendations for functional minimum alternatives for Phase 2 of the South 68th Street project. City engineer.
Yes. First of all, I'm going to invite our consultant up to the table. Just give a brief background because this has involved a lot of the public. If you recall, last year we decided not to do our paving program on South 68th Street. We have some sight distance issues, some safety issues with a lot of pedestrians in the parks and other things that are nearby. So we solicited consultants. We hired a consultant, Lakeside Engineers, who performed what we call a Phase 1 design or a scoping study. We're actually, they had a couple public information meetings. They invited the public, and we got very good turnouts. And I'll let them explain exactly how they did that. But then this has also been discussed at the Board of Public Works. I would point you to page 41 of your packet. The analysis Board of Public Works is recommending that rate things should be considered as part of their final report. So with that, I will let the consultants that are here introduce themselves, give you some descriptions of the report. For your information, I think most of you have seen the some of the boards from the public information that we actually put out in the hallway. I know it's I received a lot of comments from the public. So with that, I'll let consultants introduce themselves.
Well, before you do that, I think the three of us in the middle are the only ones who know Sarah Johnson, who was formerly a planner for the city of Franklin. So she knows what she's talking about here. Mr. Ritchie, before you leave, I'll give you this stuff out of the packet.
Thank you. My name is Sarah Malik, and I'm with Lakeside Engineers. For this project, we held two public information meetings, as Glenn mentioned. Both meetings were held at the Root River Center. Both meetings were open house format. At the first meeting, we had 75 attendees sign in, and participants used a variety of methods to collect input on what their concerns were or what they viewed as necessary for 68th Street improvements. Their public comments that they that we collected from them, there were major themes amongst the comments that we derived, and those were safe facilities for bikes and pedestrians, improved sight distance, improve driver awareness through signage, maintain rural character of the roadway, reduce impacts to trees, right-of-way, and drainage, and maintain the existing speed limit and reduce traveling speeds. At the second open house we held, we had 46 attendees sign in. And at this meeting, we presented alternative cross-sections that were derived from the data collection that we performed and the major themes that we received from the public at the first meeting. So we displayed the alternatives, and the majority of participants commented that the absolute minimum alternative, which you see in your report, as their preferred improvement for the corridor.
Good evening. I'm Chris Quinnell from Lakeside Engineers. Just talk a little bit about the three alternatives. The first one that we developed was this absolute minimum alternative. For a majority of the corridor, it involves no widening. On the southern mile from Putes to Drexel, there would be about a foot on each side. This alternative does not meet the minimums for bike and pedestrian accommodations. We call it an absolute minimum because that's basically what's out there today. Our second alternative is a functional minimum alternative, and that's exactly what it sounds is. It meets all of the minimum design standards for a travel lane and also bike and pedestrian facilities on the shoulders. In most cases, this is widening the roadway 2 feet on each side, adding some additional pavement on the shoulder. We're also narrowing the lane width from what you have out there today to try to slow speeds down. One common theme that we heard at the meetings was that travel speeds were high in the corridor.
That's not a problem here in the city of Franklin. Nobody speeds here.
That was a joke.
Everybody speeds here.
Yeah, now one less patrol officer can really let it rip.
Sure, and so the narrowing of the lanes, you know, sometimes it gives the driver the feeling that they don't have quite as much room, and it's really just a feel of the roadway. So instead of widening the roadway and making it feel like they have more space, we're trying to narrow it down and slow those speeds down as well. And then the third alternative is the optimal conditions, and so this would provide for more desirable lane widths, shoulder widths. It provides a wider cross-section along the roadway. Certainly has more impacts to trees, properties, and other things along the corridor. So looking at these three alternatives and the meetings we had, you know, we had a lot of people who liked the absolute minimum. We also had others who really want the bike and pedestrian accommodations. And our recommendation is the functional minimum to try to maintain both.
And I would also like to point out that none of these recommendations include sidewalks or pathways, even though that was expressed as the desire that, to increase the safety. So I think all three options at least eliminated those, and we're proposing the functional minimum, which is the middle one.
You can't read it. It's 4 foot paved shoulders on either side, and that's correct. And it's 10 feet travel lanes both directions. Alderman Wilhelm.
Glenn, has there been an overall look on how we can get pedestrian access to connect through other areas, like through Christine Rathke Park or something, that can access the Oak Leaf Trail instead of, you know, putting people on the road, but to take a more off-road trail approach and build on our trail system?
That was not part of this study. We did.
Ma'am.
We realize that there's a lot of people that live across the road, and so when they come to Christine Rathke or the Oak Leaf Trail, they have to get on 68th Street for some distance and to get there. And even without, at least my impression is, even without visiting the facilities that we have out there, a lot of people use 68 just to travel or walk, and it was just an unsafe situation.
Is it something you could provide as to show the, excuse me. Is it something that you could provide to us as to show where the existing trails are in any possible public land that maybe even the Park Commission could look at, since we have park impact fees and things that we could add to that?
I could provide, in the future, I could provide some sort of study.
I just didn't want to miss any opportunities where, you know, we're forcing to take down or impact someone's property when we could have looked at an alternative option or direction or route that would have maybe done the same thing in a better manner. So.
Alderman Barber.
One of the things that came up with the discussions that we had with the various groups was the fact that the trailhead is up near Loomis that accesses the whole Oak Leaf Trail path that's back, running in back of the
familiar with it, Ben.
So that was one of the things they said, that they didn't need the paths or bike paths or sidewalks there, because once you get from that trailhead, which is very near Loomis, mm-hmm. you have it all the way back down, all the way back through to Putes, basically, and then beyond. So that is just one of the things that the residents there did not want to duplicate, because that already exists. It's there. And their concerns were the fact that they wanted to reduce the speeds. They wanted to keep it as natural as possible. They liked the roadways. They liked the trees. So minimum when I started this was to improve those areas of the roadbed that needed some improvement and to tighten up the shoulders on that without going into the other kind of paths for bikes or pedestrians.
Alderman Dandrieu.